I would have to admit and make a confession to my brother-in-law and to you that on Monday morning when I woke up, before I did my normal reading and praying, I opened the laptop, and when I learned that the saints had gone marching in, that's good enough. And I went back to my devotionals. So I'm not big into football, but you know, I did something this year I never did before. You know, when you get older, there's a few things you do in life that are just a little different. Actually, I actually prayed for them. Oh, you say this. You know what I prayed for? Because I've been reading some articles lately. I prayed there would be a fatality amongst them. For all those people. Or any of those men permanently injured for life. My prayer was answered. So I'm not telling you to go home and pray for your football teams or do what I did on Monday morning, but just came to my mind as soon as he said that. I thought, yeah, right. But anyhow, once the saints went marching in, this saint got into his Bible, like you've been hearing, and a little time of devotion, and here we be. Now, down to some real stuff here. Deuteronomy, book of Deuteronomy in chapter 32. Deuteronomy chapter 32. And verse number 1, give ear, O ye heavens, and I will speak, and hear, O earth, and the words of my mouth. My doctrine shall drop as rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain upon the tender herb, and as the showers upon the grass. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe ye greatness unto our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a call of God. A God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. Now please down to verse number 7. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Or, as your margin will likely give it, generation and generation. Consider it, he said. Ask thy father, he will show thee. Thy elders, they will tell thee. When the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set bounds or boundaries of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land, in a waste and howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Down to verse 15, and this name Jeshurun, by the way, is a name that is used several, if not maybe four times in our Old Testament. It means Israel. Unfortunately, not Israel at their best. So you could read it, verse 15, or Jacob, you could read it too, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxing fat, thou art grown thick, thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him in lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. One other verse, and it'll suffice. Verse 47. For it is not a vain thing for you. And please notice these next four words, which have impressed themselves on my mind this week. Because it is your life. Not Moses. Moses was coming to the end of it. Because it is your life. And through this thing ye shall prolong your days in the land, whither ye go over to Jordan to possess it. Now, I'm very, very hard on preachers that will say, you know, I just don't have the time to go there. I don't have the time. I think, get on with your preaching. Forget about telling us what you don't have time to preach about. So I don't want to violate that myself. One of the most delightful chapters you could read in your Bible is Deuteronomy chapter 32. Now, I'm sure every preacher says that, rightly so, about every chapter if he's particularly taken that chapter up at that moment. I want to speak to you in the few minutes that I have this morning about three things. We're not going to get all three of them covered. I'm not intending to. I want to speak to you about boundaries, borders, and bondage, and the difference between them. I'll do well if I get through the first one. I'm reminded of Billy Sunday was quite a gospel preacher. It wasn't in my generation, I assure you. And I don't know if any of here other than read and heard him, but quite a gospel preacher. His ministry was sometimes just a little hard to take, and these brethren didn't know how to approach him, so finally the delegation of four or five or six went to him. One of them said, I'm going to speak. I'll lead the way. So he looked at Mr. Sunday and he said, Billy, he says, you have a way of stroking the fur the wrong way. Mr. Sunday looked at him and he said, well, then turn those cats around. So I'm not up here to stroke anybody's fur the wrong way. But I'm up here with something that is upon my heart. And I must say that when I saw the people in the audience today, and so many younger people here, just confirmed what I had before me. Because the book of Deuteronomy is the, as you know, is the last of the Pentateuch, the fifth book in your Bible. It is a book that parallels with the book of the Acts. And it can rightly be called a transitional book because it is a transition from a former generation to a younger or a newer generation. And the man that is addressing that generation is an older man. Not an old man, an older man, in case you got any ideas. I was just so glad that they invited Mr. McLean to come along and speak at this conference because I wasn't the oldest one here. Thanks, man. It was a break. Anyhow, here is Moses, and he's got a grave concern for these people. Now, his concern is not primarily for his life. It's past. It's history. You can read about it. But it's interesting that a man like Moses will end his life with a song. Because Deuteronomy chapter 32 is actually a song. It's interesting that the first song that we read about in our Bible is the song of Moses and Miriam. And when you go to the book of the Revelation, the last song is linked with the same man. So whatever you want to take from this man, Moses, you can understand this. That as he served the Lord, he was a man that served him in song. Well, I should speak to all of us today. The need to happily serve the Lord. The need to happily worship him. And to enjoy the devotions that we've been hearing about. It is interesting that when you go to your New Testament, the book of Deuteronomy is referred to more than any other book in the Bible. 80 times. 80 references in your New Testament go back to the book of Deuteronomy. The Lord Jesus, when tempted by the devil himself, what book does he quote from? You've got it. He quotes from the book of Deuteronomy. So that in itself gives me some very vital teaching, and it is this. That like all of our Bible, there are lessons to be learned from this book for any generation. That's why I read those earlier verses. Remember the days of old and consider the years of many generations. In other words, generation after generation after generation. However, when I'm speaking about a boundary today or boundaries, what really am I talking about? We sometimes hear a term bantered amongst us that raises a red flag with me, and it is this: rules and regulations. And it would almost be saying that my generation, we were raised with all these rules and regulations, and it just wasn't fair, and it just wasn't this, and we don't need this. And sorry, I never felt that way. I still don't feel that way. But I think that anybody acknowledges and will recognize the fact that we work with tolerances. We work with boundaries in our lives. I mean, what married couple today, young or older, or planning on it, doesn't want that partner to respect boundaries, moral boundaries? What are you going to become for God? Because remember, it's your life. Listen, this man's concluding this chapter because it's the last chapter in his life. He is told at the end of it, and at the end of his song, that the land that he is talking about, that he's preaching about, that he's sending these people to, is a land he's only going to see, and he's not going to enjoy it. Nevertheless, he still will rejoice in what God has done. Boundaries. You see, if you don't have clear boundaries in anything, you don't have clear penalties. I mean, games are played today, and we're not playing games, but games are played today with very clear boundaries. In a game of Monopoly or some game like that, there's penalties when those boundaries are broken. If you're in a building trade today and you're wiring your house or whatever, there's codes. Except those two brethren, Jim and Kerry, that were Mexico, they're all codes down there, I guess. I know you're going to tell me that after the meeting, so I'll just tell you now. Okay? Mexico excluded. But you know right well that this building is wired, it is built according to codes. And those are specified. And those are literally boundaries that they cannot go past. I flew an airplane back just after an annual inspection, where two mechanics will spend close to, I don't know how many hours, minutely going over that aircraft, checking compressions or whatever, touching up valves, doing things, because those compressions have a tolerance and there's a boundary. Go side of that, that annual is revoked. Plus, who wants to fly in the dark of night when you can neither in clouds when you can see wingtip to wingtip and not think, hey, hope they did it right. Do you know why? It's my life. It's my life, not theirs. They're back in the shop. Tools are put away. So understand there are boundaries. If you go to the book of Exodus, even when the Ten Commandments are given as such, the first thing that God tells those people is, tells Moses, you must set a boundary for those people. What was that for? That was for their protection. It was for their good. Now, I am not telling you, dear young believers and older believers today, I am not saying that in a former generation there weren't things that went to extremes. Okay? It didn't kill me, obviously, because I'm still here. But there's the danger of swinging to the other extreme and becoming like a Jeshurun. What does he say? Jeshurun waxed fat. In other words, he grew. He developed on this former generation and now has made up his mind that he doesn't need the Lord. That's what he says. Lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. Now, in this chapter, there are four things that are new I want to touch with you very, very briefly. First of all, as we pointed out, it is a new people, a new generation. With the exception of Caleb and Joshua and Moses himself, the old generation which had come up from Egypt and was numbered at Sinai had passed away, and now a new generation has grown up. What does Moses want for those people? He wants for those people what any true servant wants for anybody, the very best. There is not a professing believer in this building or in any other building that I've ever spoken to, I trust, that I don't, dear brother, want the very best for you, no matter how it's come across. I speak on behalf of shepherds, elders, overseers doing that work in this audience today. And when they come to you and speak to you, even though you may not be taking that, you may have your defenses up, can I speak for them and tell you they want what Moses wanted for these people? The very best for you. Why? Because it's your life. So may I ask you today, there are boundaries that God has established for these people. That's what he says in verse number 8. He set bounds for the people according to the number of the children of Israel. What boundaries have you set in your life? You see, there's boundaries that he has set. The Apostle Paul, when he speaks of the eating of meats, those are boundaries that he personally had set. And there's other passages in the Word of God where he did not necessarily expand those boundaries upon believers. But he would speak almost in the language of the psalmist, as for me, as for me. Doesn't Joshua say that? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Notice it started with him. Do you have boundaries, dear believers, to where you go? As to what you do? As to what you'll attend and what you'll not attend? As to what you'll watch and you won't watch? I mean, G.K. Chesterton said that tolerance is an easy virtue of people who do not believe anything. I mean, you will see children today. I just saw one in an airport just yesterday. I felt sorry for the mother of that child that literally ran into areas that he wasn't even supposed to be in, and his mother either. In the stores, getting things that he wasn't even supposed to be near, wasn't even intending to buy them. And there she was, frustrated. Why? Why? So that boy knew nothing of limitations. He knew nothing of boundaries. Moses is telling these people, this is your safeguard. This is what's going to preserve you. This is what is going to protect this new people. And he takes them back to his experience. And God says, I found Jacob, just like he found you. He says this, I found him in a desert, in a waste and howling wilderness. Well, these people had to be reminded, did they not? Just of where they'd come from. Maybe some of us that have been saved, raised in Christian homes, have taken for granted just where we've come from. And somehow we think that salvation was just automatic, may I say something like that, or that it was just kind of coming our way. And we don't realize, we don't understand it was as much of the grace of God to save Murray McCandless as it was Peter Orszag. Absolutely. Because the Bible teaches there is no difference. These were a new people. Dear young people today, just let me address them for a moment. You are a new generation. God has saved you. I can tell you how delightful and how heartwarming it is to see so many young people, single people, couples, some have started going together and whatever, with a desire, a wholesale desire to live for God. You would not be where you are just now if personally, in high school, in college, in university, you had not established bounds for the people. Another word that is used as a sister word to what I'm talking about is the word standard bearer. Remember what Isaiah the prophet, as he said this to the people, he said, they shall be as when the standard bearer shall faint. It's interesting that in the Song of Solomon, those lovely words that we often quote, my beloved is ruddy, he is white, he is chiefest among 10,000. The word for chiefest there is he is the standard bearer. The ultimate standard bearer is the Lord himself. What a lovely standard bearer. And it is the Lord himself that wants for you what Moses wanted for these people, the very best, because it was their life. Not only was there a new people, but there were new possessions. Okay? Obviously, the wilderness pilgrimage really has now given place to national occupancy of Canaan. At least that was intended for the people. There's a lot of changes these people are going through. They're no longer living just the way that former generation did. So there's obviously new possessions. Now we live in a world of new possessions, all right. I have a Palm One or Palm Pilot, they used to be called. They're out of date now. I had to go on eBay to get one to replace what I have. So the man said to me, he said, listen, you have a BlackBerry. He says, you likely have a Bible program on it, don't you, Mr. McCallis? I said, yeah. He said, well, use it. I said, listen, I attend a lot of conferences, and there wouldn't be hardly a person in that meeting that saw me with my BlackBerry out would say, he's reading emails. So I says, get this Palm Pilot working. A lot of new possessions. Have they helped us? Are we allowing them to help us? Hey, I didn't come in horse and buggy either. Even though I may look like it. I didn't ride to town on a load of watermelons either. A lot of things have changed. And I'm not against those. These people that were new possessions, or things, is that what made Jeshurun wax fat? Hey, really? Good thing my children aren't here. Start off where Dad left off, think nothing of it. Think nothing of it. Dad was 52 years old before he had a garage to put his car in. They never built a house without a garage. They know nothing about it. And you say, well, they want to start off where we left off. No, they don't. Sorry. Nothing against the boys or the girls either. But there's possessions. The danger of it is that they make us independent. We become like Jeshua. We're no longer Jacob, found, saved out of the wasted, howling wilderness. We're no longer Israel, my strength and his glory. Who are we? We come at Jeshua that is lightly esteemed the rock of our salvation. New possessions. I want to ask you. It's tough, isn't it, young people? It's like, you know, always broke. Always in debt. The truth is, you never had it so good. You say, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. I got to talk to you after. You know what I'm talking about. Quickly. Not only was there a new people with new possessions, but there are new practices. New practices. And there's new practices amongst us. And I'm not against those. I mean, we gather and go to seesaw events. I'm thinking of one for example that has been used by God for the spread of his word and for the development of young people, for their exercise, and by and large has proved an ultimate blessing. We have back home, I mean, Neil, as soon as I got here, how's the skiing going in Sussex yesterday? Now, I got to admit that if where I was raised, if we'd announced that we were skiing on Saturday, and everybody's come out, and we're doing the treat at night, that wouldn't have flown. But I'll tell you that the Poly Ski Mountain this afternoon, 5 miles from Sussex, is filled with a lot of young people that'll be at the day's meeting tomorrow. Okay? There are new practices. Was he condemning them? No. But you know what he says? Set boundaries. I don't have to, it's just coming to my mind now to tell you how fatal it can be when boundaries aren't set, even on a ski hill, and we go into unrestricted areas. And the loss is horrific. Am I speaking to someone here today? And like we've been hearing behind it all, and I'm not speaking in a condemning way, you've been skiing in unprotected areas. And I'm not talking about some slope that's near here or not near here. I'm talking about just immoral living. I'm just talking about day-to-day living. These people had to be so careful. But more than that, and finally, not only are new people, new possessions, and new practices, but there was a new passion. You say new passion? Yeah. Where does God first tell the people that he loved them? Where? What book does God first tell the people he loved them? He did not love that former generation, he loved them. Not till you get to the book of Deuteronomy does God tell the people, I love you. That's interesting. If you can tell me why, I'd love to learn. Because I've only learned that this last week. Not until you get to the book of Deuteronomy, God tells these people, I love you. I love you. Brethren, he hasn't changed his mind. He loved them with an everlasting love. And from here on through the rest of that New Testament, right to the last chapter of it, and the last chapter of the experience of these people that so sadly failed, it still says he loved them. There's a time when they loved him. They went after him in the wilderness. But he said they had forsaken me, the fount of living waters, and they have hewn out for themselves cisterns that can hold no waters. He said they would love what God was giving them. Who wouldn't love to be in houses that they hadn't built? Who wouldn't love to eat of vineyards that they hadn't planted? Who wouldn't love all these things? You know, it's just you see this really given to us in Luke chapter 15. Okay? Remember the elder son? For some reason, he thought God wanted what was his. He wanted what was his. The father did not want what was his. He said, listen, it's yours. Keep it. What did the father want? Him. Dear child of God, God isn't out after what you have. His interest is not in what you have. His interest is in who you are. Can I tell you something today? That not only did he possess these people because they are spoken of as his inheritance. Not only did he possess these people possessed him. They possessed his heart. When you touch these people, you touch the apple of his eye. When you touch these people, you touched his heart. Now, if I can say that concerning this generation of people that will never be bride of Christ, that will never be who you and I are today, how much more so even for us, a people today loved of the Lord. My time is gone. Let me just summarize this by saying, if you were to read through this chapter, you would come to a very clear understanding from the beginning. It's not a hard chapter. Deuteronomy 30 is a fairly long one. But there's progression and development of truth as you go through that chapter. By this man, there's two things that come through to you, and it's this, that the man speaking to them loved the people. But it could not be equal with the God in heaven, who he represented, that loved these people. And he loved them with an everlasting love. And he reminded them that this is your life. Remember it, dear child of God. There'll only be one of them. I'm going to stay very close to Mr. Peterson in the conference. He wanted to know how many birthdays did I have to have before I was 60. I said, you're my friend forever. Never mind the laugh. It's a bit like the boy from Hampton. These meetings last winter. Wonder if he could sit with Mr. McLeod guy. I opened the meeting one night and sat down. He leaned over to the little wee fella. He said, that was good preaching. I wanted to say, Sonny, you can stay here every night. God help you. God bless you. Remember, dear young brother, dear young sister, all of us, it is your life.